I mix what I like.
Okay, first of all, I want to give a shout out to Colin Kaepernick with the 1-6 San Francisco 49ers. He's got a long, they're gonna dog him now.
Let me just say quickly, that is Brother Daruba Ben Wahad. I'm Dr. Jared Ball. I mix what I like. I mix what I like.org for more on this conversation and more. He is, of course, the legendary former Black Panther Party member, Black Liberation Army member, former political prisoner, and current strong political analyst and organizer. And, of course, Daruba, as soon as I woke up this morning, I had a whole bunch of inboxes saying, we need to hear from D. So I'm here to play my role as a conduit as much as I can. What do you have to say after last night's election?
Well, you said it all in that that Facebook commentary. You know, I think that it's time that Black folks realize, and that people of color realize, that it was the same constituency that basically flipped the script for Obama. You know, that secretly went out into the polls and on the down low voted for Donald Trump. Mm. I mean, you know, white folks in America are dumb as bricks. So, if they have an expectation that a privileged, spoiled white boy is going to deliver jobs that are going the way of technology, that are going to be obsolete, that he's going to bring back the coal industry in a world that's moving towards a global greenhouse catastrophe, then, you know, they deserve these leaders. You know, it's in the Greeks. I think it's one of the Greeks philosophers that said that the gods, you know, they believed in multi gods. The gods first make insane those they intend to destroy. Mm. And I think that America deserves Donald Trump, and I think that they got what they deserve. But I think the lesson for us, though, seriously, is that, you know, Black folks have been complicit in this whole charade in his election. They've been complicit. We've been bombarded for the last year and a half with the lesser of two evils dichotomy, which we have swallowed time and time and time again. You know, I'm old enough to remember Ronald Reagan being elected to office, and before him, Richard Nixon. We have to understand that we are in a historical moment where this system, this capitalist system, this bogus democracy, I call it democratic fascism, is in a transitional stage, and it's in a transitional stage that has upset the entire apple cart of electoral politics, the duopoly political system. And I think I mentioned it in the Facebook comment, very few pundits and experts expected white rural America to and white students and so-called educated millennials and all of these different subcategories that they had expected them to come out in the numbers that they did, mm-hmm. and vote for Trump. Mm-hmm. And I think that this impels us to begin to look to our own devices, to realize that the Republican and the Democratic parties are a sham, are a trap, and that the Black comprador class, I'm quite sure they will come to some type of a rapprochement with the current holders of the White House. We've seen the backlash, or as Van Jones called the white lash, before. We saw what happened after Nixon was threatened with impeachment, and after the Watergate fiasco, how everybody rushed to elect a Jimmy Carter, mm-hmm. you know, a Georgia peanut farmer, you know, and put him in office and thought that he was going to fix the system. And it was the Georgia peanut farmer that fired Andrew Young when he talked to the PLO behind closed doors when the Israelis and the Zionists.
That's right. Forgot about that. That's right.
So, and it's Andrew Young who here in Atlanta, the capital of Negroism in America, and reformism and the duopoly political system. It was him that termed the Black Lives Matter folks unruly.
That's right.
Unruly children, basically.
That's right.
And so we need to understand that we are just as responsible. When I say we, I'm being generous because I know you weren't down with this, and I know that damn sure wasn't. But I'm saying we to say that Black people, who are usually in the vanguard of social, civil, and political change in this country, have dropped the ball. Mm-hmm. We should have had a third political party led by Black folks, led by people of color, ever since Gary, Indiana, mm-hmm. of the 1970s. It was the Jesse Jacksons. It was the Black Comprador class that sabotaged that initiative. That was at a point in the post-civil rights era, right at the end of the civil rights upsurge of mass organization, the passage of the Voting Rights Act from 64, when we had enough masses and enough people mobilized in America to form a third political party, an inclusive third political party. We had the experience of the radical tradition having been at the forefront of the Black Power movement, which was a direct threat to white supremacy in this country, and that LBJ threw the War on Poverty through money at and created the poverty pimps that we now have in the Congressional Black Caucus. So we are at a historical moment. On this Friday, I will talk in New York at the 50th Legacy of the Black Panther Party reunion. And this is the point I want to bring out, that we right now at this historical moment need to do what the Black Panther Party did at a similar moment in history and call for a national united front against fascism. We need to call for a national united front to decentralize public safety and for community control of police. And all of those individuals who claim to be activists, from the Hoteppers to the Black Power gurus, to the messianic leaders from the churches and the mosques, need to come to Atlanta, need to bring their tired ass to Atlanta, their rhetorical asses to Atlanta, and form a national united front that might serve as a basis for a new political movement in this country of poor people, of disenfranchised people, of people who have been marginalized and who will be the victims of this new order. We have to understand that the last two police shootings that just happened, one just happened yesterday, and the other one that just happened a week ago, were carried out by white supremacists. They weren't carried out by Black militants. They weren't carried out by Puerto Rican nationalists. They weren't carried out by Islamic terrorists. They were carried out by white supremacists who believe now they have a license to ill. And we have no infrastructure, no apparatus, no political party, nothing to defend ourselves with, nothing to fall back on. And you even have Negroes talking about Hillary still has a role to play. You know, we have folks that, I know it's pathetic. It's pathetic. I mean, there's one thing that's coming out of this that might be beneficial, and that's that Obama is leaving the White House. And he's going to become our Frederick Douglass until the day he dies.
Interesting. I haven't heard anybody make that point before. That's interesting.
Oh, he's going to be the Black leader of America. Now, if we form the type of community outrage, if we form the type of organized community outrage focused at his administration for the last 8 years, maybe he could begin to front for a third political party. I assure you that if Barack Obama abandoned the Democratic Party and really talked about organizing a third political way in this country, every Negro in America will be on board.
Oh, I'm sure. I just, which is one reason I can't imagine.
I can't imagine.
But I wanted you also to, if you would, and I think you've already started to do this, but in particular, there's the fear many people are feeling today that I'm hearing, I'm seeing it in my classes, I'm in my family, you know, a fear of you know, immigrant deportation, a fear of, as you were talking about, white supremacist violence. As others have said, and you were just sort of addressing it, people are saying that this is a new moment in terms of the rise of fascism. Given some of the history you've outlined and some of the politics you just, you know, and the responses you've also outlined, what do you say to that specific concern or that fear that many are feeling today?
Don't be scared. Organize. I think that's the most important thing. Like I said, the Hoteppers could Hotep. The messianic leaders can pray. The black power advocates can march around in combat boots and thrust their fists in the air if they want. But the fact of the matter is that the white supremacist right is organized. They're empowered. They're galvanized. They've been mobilized politically. They have complete control of the United States government from the Senate to the White House. You know, and they're not going to have no trouble pushing through those bills that they want to push through. And we know that the most powerful lobbies in America today are the police unions, are the Zionists from AIPAC and the corporations. We know that they're the most powerful lobbies in American government today. And so we have to build to win. We have to be able to build institutions, to build grassroots organizations that will ensure our survival. If we survive the bullwhip days, if we survive the Civil War and the post-Civil War reconstruction and the reapproachment between the North and the South and to the exclusion of black folks, if we survive Jim Crow, if we survived all of these things so that we're here having this conversation now, we will survive Donald Trump and white supremacy in America. But we need to understand that unlike those periods in time, capitalism is in a global crisis and it teeters on the brink of total disintegration. And as we touched on in our little conversation on the email, you know, we need to look forward to what's about to happen in Europe. What has happened in the UK, what has happened in Europe is going to directly impact on the global situation. And all of this is happening as China rises to global power and influence in the world. And China is a nation that outnumbers the United States 8-1. And we need to understand that the Chinese are people of color, that they have moved into Africa with a no judgment attitude towards their diplomacy and their access to African resources, while the United States and the West has militarized Africa and is waging a war on Muslims in Africa. We need to understand what this means for us. Cynthia McKinney was pointing out just recently the role that Hillary Clinton played in the murder of Muammar Gaddafi.
That's right.
And she was pointing out that the underlying factor that Gaddafi was murdered, was assassinated, and Libya was destroyed and dismembered was because they were moving off of the gold standard. They were moving away from U.S. dollars, the dollar standard, the Bretton Woods Agreement, that they threatened to use their resources and money to underwrite a United States of Africa, a Pan-African paradigm. We have to understand that it is in this direction that we have to begin to prepare ourselves here in the United States. We need an independent political party. We need an independent grassroots movement that is anti-fascist, that is pro-working class, that is anti-racist, that is anti-misogynist. We need to build a massive movement, something that that Dr. King tried to do before he was assassinated in terms of building a poor people's campaign. We need to understand where we are at in this society and that the people that voted in Donald Trump, they voted him in fear of this changing demographics in demography in the United States. So unlike some folks, I think that we need to, our young folks that haven't got criminal records, they need to show up in masses at the various gun shows and go to the gun ranges and get their skills together. Those black ex-servicemen who are out in our community have to begin to bring our children together and train them. We need to get these street sets and young brothers on the streets to understand that they have a role to play in this. I think for the first time since I've been in Atlanta, I've turned on the news in the morning. This is the first time it ever happened. And there's not a whole litany of dead bodies that were found in the black community and people shot and murdered in the black community. This is the first morning I've turned on the TV and that hasn't been the feature news. And maybe it's because the elections dominated the news and just another dead Negro, some more dead Negroes isn't newsworthy at this particular moment. But it's significant. It's significant to show that we need all of our resources, all of our people, to mobilize on every level, from the legal to the extra legal, to begin to assert our right to survive this racist nation. And we need to understand that, as Kalonji Changa said, you know, it was Americans that voted Trump in. We're not Americans. We are people of African descent. This country was not founded by immigrants. It was founded by invaders. It was established by people who came to this country and usurped the land. And I think what's going on at Standing Rock is just a reprise or a reminder of that fact. So the same way that that we built the underground to support our right for freedom, we need to understand that our families, our ancestors did not die and fight for the right to vote. They fought for freedom. And that the history of the United States imposed or transposed our freedom struggle as a right to vote, as suffrage, as our right to vote. Well, now we have the right to vote. We have voted and our vote don't count. We have, because we have maintained ourselves in a system that the founding fathers created, the electoral college system, that made sure that a majority of people in this country could never change the paradigm of economic and political power through the vote. And this is why I say again that if electoral politics, as they're presently constituted, could change anything, it would be illegal. And that's what we need to begin to talk about. We need to take our heads out of the box that we have confined ourselves in and to begin to think as a sovereign people, as a people that have a right to live, that have a right to be free, and that have a right to be heard. And if these crackers and these militias think that it's an open field day on us, they need to understand that this is not the 1800s. This is not the turn of the century. You kill my cat, I will shoot your dog. So they need to understand that. And I think the best way to get them to understand that is start kicking off in their ass right away, straight away. The first time the crackers raise their fists or scream nigger in our face, we need to put our foot in their mouth. And we need to be unapologetic in doing that. And as for the bootlickers that are presently in Washington, D.C., who are now seeking accommodations with Trump and his administration, we might have a Giuliani as an attorney general.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. What do you think that might mean? But go ahead and finish your point. Yeah,
I think the same thing that meant in New York. We should have kicked Giuliani in his ass in New York. I mean, what makes you think that his ass has changed from New York to here? You know, ain't nothing changed. He's still a flat ass racist cracker that needs his ass whipped. And that's what we need to do. We need to accept interviews on CNN just to slap the shit out of some of these crackers on national television. They need to understand that we're disgruntled, we're embittered, we're angry, and we're hostile, and we ain't gonna take it no more. They need to understand this every time they look at it. Well, you gotta remember, look at the pundits on this. Look at the Negroes they trotted out on MSNBC for the last year and a half to explain what was happening, to explain why Hillary Clinton was a viable alternative. And we sat there and we listened to that.
Yeah.
And they didn't invite you on MSNBC. They didn't invite even people like the Honorable Minister Farrakhan onto on it.
No, in fact, I heard they have a specific list, a literal list of people that Joy, I forgot her name, Joy Ann Reed, and before she got fired, Melissa Harris Perry were not specifically not to have on.
Exactly.
So we need to
understand that we don't need the mass media as it's presently constituted. We have black folks sitting in beauty parlors, sitting in barbershops and laundromats, looking at TV screens with what's her name, Whoopi Goldberg on it. Yeah. Looking at TV screens with all of my children on it. And these are and we could just as easily stream into every one of these locations our own black network news. We could stream into all of these locations our own particular view. Huey P. Newton once said that power is the ability to define phenomena and make it act in the desired fashion. So we need to define our reality, define this reality, and make it act in the desired fashion. So I think that we need to realize that, as Obama just said, that after the elections, that the sun will come up in the morning. So we need to hurry sundown and see what tomorrow brings. Mm. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to shut these crackers down. We need to let them know that we will not tolerate their white supremacy. We will not tolerate 1 minute their state violence, that we will hold them accountable by any means necessary. If it means taking control of the local police departments, then we need to understand this was a national election. And that local politics is the politics that directly affect our lives. So we still can take control of the local institutions that affect our lives, the police, public safety, sanitation, education. We still can take control of these local institutions, but we can't take control of these local institutions if we don't have an independent political party, if we don't break with the duopoly of the Democratic Republican paradigm of white supremacy and power. So that's our message. We need to take control of the local politics, and we need to draw a clear demarcation line between those people who support state violence, who support the unaccountability of state agencies and police, and we need to let them know that we're not going to tolerate that, that if they come in our community with that cracker shit, we will kick off in their ass, excuse my language. And that's what they need to know. If they think that Muslims are afraid, Muslims need to let them know that there's no fear but a fear of Allah. What has a Muslim got being afraid of another human being? Okay? It's like I tell my son when he's playing football and they're going up against the strongest team in his league. I said to him, when you get out on that football field, there's nothing they can do to you that you can't do to them. And you need to understand that. And once you understand that simple fact, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And you one hit them high and one hit them low. And that's what we need to do. We need to hit these crackers high and low with a new political paradigm of power in this country. And we need to take control of the local political machine and get all of these suffering, boot-licking, ass-kissing Negroes that have been running for electoral office that told us that we had to either vote for the Wicked Witch of the West or Donald Trump would become in power. Now the Wicked Witch of the West is conceding, talking about we are all Americans, and Donald Trump is in power. So now what you gonna do?
Daruba Bin Wahad, thanks again for joining us here at I Mix What I Like. And as you and others and Fred Hampton used to say, to you, we say peace if you're willing to fight for it. So peace, Daruba, thanks again.
Peace out, brother. Thanks again for you too. Meet you in the whirlwind.
Yes, sir.
I mix what I like.